you're going to be in a little house, you feel a little bit better than being outside.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of look out the window and you see the winds blowing, rain falling. You do feel a little shit on the inside, but sometimes that thing will shake you. And it scares you. But I'll tell you, it's a good place to be in the Lord.
Yes.
All the storms of life begin to hit. And may the Lord bless us this evening. We appreciate your prayers. Sister Jennifer was feeling pretty bad this evening, and the wife decided to stay home with her and assist her. So let's put in the name of prayer. She said, I know I'm going to miss something.
Yeah, she is too.
She don't want this, I tell you. That's different than changing.
Yes, it is.
One time individual running away from the truth, got to run them down and tell them Jesus loves them. And then when they get saved, they don't want to miss nothing. That's quite a change. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful this evening for the mercy of the Lord. And for this little while that we're together, we desire your prayers again this evening. One thing we realize, that every service has to stand on its own, and the Holy Ghost and the Lord are going to have to anoint that church.
Yes.
And it's going to have, as it was prayed, to anoint our hearts to receive.
Amen.
We can sit right here and hear the Word of God and really just turn it down. Yes. Don't realize what we're turning down. That's not for me. I'm not ready for that. But may the Lord bless us this evening as we look a little bit in the Word of the Lord.
Amen.
Joshua, 14th chapter, and the 11th verse. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in.
Yes, amen.
My thought this evening is a consistency of living for God.
Yes.
Amen.
Being consistent and living for God. Consistent means fixed, firm, not contradictory. Here I'm reading in the scripture, and the scripture before that, here Caleb comes back over here now, 45 years later, than when Moses had sent him out, or given the land. And 45 years later, he said, I am just as strong now as I was then.
Yes.
In a span of 45 years, brother, you got some devil to deal with. Anybody? 85 years old now. Maybe somebody here close to right now. I know the body gets weak, and now you don't know how to find this out easy and quick, because you don't have to be old to get to hurting. But notice in his spirit, he said, I am just as strong now that I was then.
Yeah.
The kind of mind he had. One of the scriptures said, the holy follow the Lord.
Yes.
Lord help us this evening. We're living in a time when there's not enough consistency of living for God.
That's so.
Things is wavering and seem like this one is letting go and this one is falling back and this one is giving up. And may God help you and I. We don't have to give up. I remember. in. He got his 12 fellows together. And he said, I want you to go out and spy the land, and I want you to bring part of the fruit back, and I want you to search it out and see what the people look like and where they dwell and what kind of way they're living and whether we can go in and take the land or not. We want to know. You bring all this information back to us. He sent them out. You know it's good to follow the Lord, Hope. They went out. Surely so, they cut part of the fruit. Bought a bag of clusters of grapes, took two men to carry.
Yeah.
That must have been some grapes.
Yeah.
Two men had to carry it. Brought it back, and they see the fruit. And ten of the fellows got up and gave us just an evil report. We just can't do it. We seem like we just can't do it. The people are too large, too big, and we won't be able to go in and do it. That's just like the devil, isn't it?
Yeah.
The devil will tell you day in and day out, what's the use? God has left you. You're not able to live this thing. You might as well give up, not go any further. It seems like people get in a stupor. It seems like people open the door and let the devil in the living room and sit down and talk with you.
Yeah.
One thing we ought to consider. If you can't live it, why should he tell you about it? You'll find out sooner or later.
Sure.
But he wants to sit down and tell you right off the bat. He'll leave it trying, brother.
That's right.
And some folks give up before they even give it a good try.
Amen.
One of the ways that individuals give up in the start, they begin to say, I can't do it. You already defeated. But I'm thinking here tonight, of being consistent in what we believe in.
Yes,
amen.
I don't believe in making allowances for things. I believe in the truth.
Yes,
amen. And it hurts you sometimes to have to tell folks the truth. Because of your love for them, because of the relationship with them, and you hope somebody else can come along and tell them. But do you know we'll get more effect out of a thing if you and I will stand by what we believe in, our convictions, stay right with it, and let mom, dad, sister, brother, and everybody else know what I believe.
That's
we can't do it, brethren. People are too large. Anakin's, they're giants, and we won't be able to take the land, so it's no need of us going. You know, with that report, the people were discouraged. If I come through here preaching to you that is, we might as well give up divine healing, it's no use, I'll tell you, a lot of you look at me and say, what's the matter with that, brother? And some that's already been on the verge about to give up, you said, brother, I agree with you.
Yeah.
See how that thing goes?
That's right.
But it's going to take somebody. Somebody is going to have to go along that's going to be strong enough and that's going to have enough faith in God to believe the word and stand on it.
Amen.
Those are the ones getting in trouble. Those that stand the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Families separate from you. They don't want to, you don't believe the same family separate from me. You just start telling them I'm going to trust God for the healing of my body. I don't want no doctor.
Amen.
You begin to tell them that. And you'll see how many you have left to stick by it. But I'm thankful. I had a sister when I got saved. She left my house and left me and didn't come back in 3.5 years. Praise God. But she did come back.
Amen.
She said to me, you know, I believe you believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And what makes you believe that? Because I've been gone 3.5 years and you still believe the same way. That's right.
Yeah.
I believe this thing. This thing is right. See? Don't breathing this thing down deep in my soul. This thing working for me, and now you come along and saying something different. That's not consistent. That's not consistent. In the time that we're living in, I'm going to say we've got too much of modern Christianity that folks want to live just like you want to live and want to let the old ancient landmarks go.
That's so.
Lord help us. And we feel that here these brethren gave their life for this thing, and you and I are going in on whipped cream.
Never be like that.
Never make it.
Nope.
We're going to have to live the very same thing that everyone else lived before our time. And you and I are going to have to live this thing down in our soul. I believe it.
Amen.
I had some comrades to Lord to take out on us. And I can still hear their words. Now, you know, I just about dream about Brother Herschel every night. I dreamed last night, me and him and Brother Fuller's in a meeting. I know he's going on. But I can still hear the word being preached. And as I lay there in my bed and I thought about the dream, they were still preaching truth.
Yeah.
Praise God. And I'm out listening, mouth open, still want some more. We've lost some good soldiers. But we still have some more coming along too.
Amen.
And you and I,
Holy Ghost is still alive.
We are going to have to live everything the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. When we go to changing and making allowances, we're not doing nothing but hurting those that are coming on, and they'll never be able to be good, solid saints, never be able to stand for anything at all. Get it? The Bible said he steals the people. He said, brethren, let's go over quickly and let us possess the land.
Yes.
Let us possess our inheritance.
Yes.
What the Lord has given us, let's go in and get it. We are well able to go in and take
the
land. Well able. But yet we'll sit back and many times we'll listen to the devil and he says, you got cancer. So what? He's the first one to diagnose something to you before you know what you got yourself.
Yeah.
The devil comes right along and the first thing he tells you, you get a little sick in the body and don't know what's the matter. First thing he tells you, cancer. And it's something about cancers that we threw up our hands to. Oh.
Amen.
It won't be long now. See what I'm talking about? We had a young lady one time, and I don't know if you heard me mention this. This young lady wasn't professing salvation as far as I know. But she heard about a little group of people that believe in God. And she gave her call and wanted to come to service. She drove all the way from Houston, Texas. And that particular day, we had to rent the building to have a little service. And after the word was preached, it was three of them, two women and one man, came to the altar for prayer. And when we came to the altar, they were anointed for both soul and body. After service, they all wept. And they all went their ways. Hugged, embraced, and they all wept. Just like that. Seemed like a quiet service. But the Lord was there.
Great.
And everybody went their way. Now, mind you, the report on this young girl, she was a friend of the family's, and the report was on her that she had cancer and she had to take the radiation treatment as long as, that's the only way she said you're going to be able to live. You got
twice a week or something. Well, she went back to Houston that Sunday evening. Tuesday morning, she went in for the usual visit, but today something was different. They checked her, and they checked her. They checked her again. And you know something about doctors? See, before I was saved, I never did like to deal with doctors. Even before I was saved. I couldn't understand why it would take four or five fellows around your bed and everybody shaking their head. You look at him. Nobody knows. They're guessing. But seemed like nobody really knows. But they checked her, they checked her, they checked her again. They sent her home. They wouldn't tell her anything. They said, come back tomorrow. They checked her again. Folks, the cancer was gone.
Yeah.
She made her rounds back down to the congregation, personally herself. And she stood up in the congregation and she thanked the Lord and thanked the saints for their prayer. She said, I'm healed. It seemed like when cancer get on the scene, you and I throw up our hands. And we just seem like kind of give up hope. That's just what the devil wants us.
Yes.
Cancer with God is just like any other disease.
Amen.
We have to believe this.
Yes.
And we'll have to attack this thing just like it is. You and I are going to have enough faith in God, enough consistency of living for God, that when we pray, God will answer. We're going to have enough love for God and living straight. Without compromise. Without letdown. And we're going to have faith that when we talk to God, He's able to answer.
Yes, amen.
Some kind of way we can pray for headaches and I stuck my toe and oh, I've got a little cut on my foot. But when we say cancer, we've already counted them out.
Mm-hmm.
Or headaches. It seems like we've already said, well, they were ripe old age anyway. You're pretty quiet, didn't
you? Oh, Lord, bless your truth tonight. Help me.
You know what God is wanting? You know what I believe in my heart that He's wanting? He's wanting faithfulness.
Yes.
He's wanting consistent living. Whether you're here in Oklahoma or whether you're in Louisiana, He wants faithful living.
Yes.
He wants you and I to dig down into His Word and love Him more than anything else.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
More than anything else.
Great God.
It seems like in our time we're living in, God comes up second and third.
Mm-hmm.
Our first priorities is what we want.
Yes.
See? But if our desires are not pointed toward God and is God, God is not going to take second.
No.
So then, since God is being put second, He makes us wait a little longer on things. See what I'm talking about? There are things that God wants to come immediately to our rescue with. But simply because we put God at the tail end of the thing, then He causes us to wait longer than what He really intended for us to do. Folks, the ark was not built for animals. It was built for people. But because the people wouldn't go in, He said, take you two of every kind of animal. And they entered into the ark. But actually, the ark was built for people to get inside. For those folks to repent and to live right and to have something that they can enter into to be saved. Type Christ today. Jesus died that we could be saved.
Yes.
And have the full plan of salvation.
Amen.
It seems like the devil comes along and he wants to throw out the part of divine healing. And he'll let you hang on to something else. He'll let you hang on to, well, yeah, you can testify every now and then. Or you smile and rejoice every now and then.
But oh, now you know, anybody with good common sense would go see what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
You've heard that before. I go see what's wrong with me. Is that all right? You got your doctor and I got mine. Is that all right? That's what I do. But I'm thinking of consistent living.
Yes.
They trust God then, and they trust Him now.
Amen.
Do you think I can make heaven any less than what these brethren lived? If they trusted God and I just... Well, I don't have to worry about that. That died with the prophets and with the apostles. That's not meant for me. You got a lot of folks think this way. This gospel that was meant for the apostles and for the prophet is meant for you and I today.
Amen.
I am the same, Jesus said. Yesterday. Today. And he didn't stop me. I'm glad he didn't stop me today. What he said and forever.
Yes.
How are we going to deal with that? How are you and I going to deal with Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? How are we going to deal with that? The only way we can deal with it, that Jesus is not a changing God.
Amen. Amen.
What he says, he does.
Amen.
But it's going to take you and I to get ourselves in a place to be a consistent Christian.
Yes.
Day in and day out.
Amen.
Some folks want to live for Jesus when they're around the people of God. When they're away from the people of God, I live like I want to. Sneak and hide. Won't work. Caleb had left and gone somewhere in the land that Moses had given him, and he comes back and decides, well, I got some more land there that belonged to me, and I'm going up and talk to the brethren and see if I can go get it. Came up, got to talking to the brethren and said, listen, well, you're an old man, Caleb. You can't do it. What do you mean, an old man? I'm just as strong. I believe somebody could have said that to him and got him stirred up. But to yield it more than anyone, I believe that was there. 51 years old when the Lord took him home. But right down to his dying hour, the report he gave me was, my instruction was be faithful, brother. Stay true. Live. Don't be afraid to preach the truth. The last report I got from some of the others said they were singing, brother, and he was waving. That's just like.
Yeah.
That's just like it. Bye-bye. Glory to God. Faithful in the death. I'm laying in the bed right there with him and laying across the foot of the bed and he's in a chair he couldn't lay down and he and I and right down in the man is dying but the way he and I were talking I'll tell you it blessed my soul. I told him, I said, brother, I said, I'm tired in body. I said, if I doze off to sleep here, I said, you see that stick you got there? I said, just wrap it off your head up. And it looks like I was up with him every hour on the hour. Every hour he was up. So one of these hours, he woke up. He said, Brother Kim. Yeah, what's that? He wouldn't talk. He said, brother, guess what? Man died in there. He said, guess what? He said, I dreamed I saw a big old piece of cake flying around his room. I said, brother, what are you doing dreaming about a piece of cake this time of morning? And he and I, he talked about that cake I had to get up and go find us some. I come back and he and I eating cake. He said, praise God. Listen, right now, he wasn't a murmuring, oh, brother, I'm hurting over here and I don't know what I'm going to do. No. Sing a song. Sing a song. Read the scripture. Read the scripture. Praise God.
Yeah.
Faith.
been knowing the man almost 16 years. I have not seen change. He died what he believed in.
Yes.
And knowing him, being with him, working with him, being taught by him. Do you think I can come up any lesser than that? Knowing what the truth is about? Lord, help you now. Talking about consistently. In the most, how should I say it? They took an autopsy of him, and don't you know they still can't find the cause of death? Natural causes, just died naturally. They won't go ahead and put it down. They can't even finish the death certificate because they can't find out the cause of death. Folks, when God deal with them, do. You're just going to have to conclude, just like Elijah did. How do you think he would know? Cherry fire. Just like him. Translate. I believe the devil is running that telling you, and no need of you praying like this, but what do you mean, translated? You gonna die.
Praise God.
Praise God. I'm strong this day. As I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then, even so is my strength now. And don't look like he paused to say that. Look like he just went right through that. You know, I like that kind of talking, because it seems like it puts us right in our place. You know what I'm talking about. It puts us right in our place, but wait a minute. Maybe we'll tear this part out. It's there for us.
Yes,
it's there for us to be encouraged by. Yes. That we can fight a good fight of faith.
Yes.
That you and I'm going to tell you why you and I,
Lord, help you pray for us.
I'm going to tell you why you and I give up so quickly if we're not careful. It's simply because I do not deal with God on the basis that God wants to deal with me. The time that is needed to spend with God, the very things that God requesting of me to deny myself of, that I can get close to Him to hear His voice, I fail to do those things. Now I still want power. We can't get it.
No.
To get power with God, it's going to take some time with God to get that power.
That's true.
And if we're willing to spend that time with God, God is willing to fill us up. See? It seems like it's hard to go without eating now. You remember the time maybe when you fast 3-4 days? I can remember this good. After the first day, it seems like that was the roughest day, but after the first day, it seems like God blessed your soul so you can move right on and forgot all about trying to eat. But now by the time you start a fast from 6 a.m., 12 o'clock, you look and you're hurt. Right here. Well, you are hurting, and it looks like all your stomach has never hurt so before, and the first thing comes to your mind, I know what it is. Lord, thank you. I'm fasting a few hours for you, but look, thank you, Lord. And I'm going to have to eat now. But yet I want power. The wife you got, did you just go right up and say, I want you? She said, all right.
Yeah.
But you did some praying. You got the mind of the Lord. Why? Because that was a serious step. See? Lord, I want to be, isn't it? Lord, I want to be sure. Maybe it's easy to come right up to one that looks real good and say, I want you. The one that don't look that good, you must pray long time. You're going to be sure. I'm going to be double sure. I'm going to fast and pray now for sure, brother. You know. Why? Because she's not what I really wanted. But, Lord, I'll listen. I'll listen. And you're going to pray long time. See the difference? Lord, I want power with you, Lord. Lord, I want to know your mind. I want to know in the time that we're living in the world that we're living in, we are going against medical science, and we're going against the authorities, and we're going against our families, and we're going against everything. Lord, I need you.
Yes, amen.
Yes, indeed.
When everybody at home turn against me, Lord, I need you.
Amen.
Yes.
Pray. Consistent living is what we're talking about.
Yes.
It's too much farming. It's too much up and down living. You're up here today and down there tomorrow and you're up here today. We're talking about straight living.
Amen.
Everywhere you go. On the job, off the job, down at the grocery store. Sometimes, I remember one time, and I won't call no name. Down around the camp, this particular brother, all you could just say, well, ooh, he loved the Lord, don't he? And one day down at the grocery store, out in the parking lot, I saw him. And you know, we've been greeting with the kids everywhere we meet on the campground. So surely now, praise the Lord. I looked down the aisle and saw him, and he fell off. Yeah. He went the other way, I went to call him. Glory to God. I want to know what's going on. And I went to him, you know how I did, with open arms. Glory to God, brother. And I grabbed him and gave him a big old kiss. He was looking to see who was, wait a minute, brother. What's the matter here? I believe in consistent living, folks. I'm not ashamed of this. Not one bit. This stuff is, this gospel here has the power to save and deliver and to heal.
Amen.
Praise God. It delivered me. Man couldn't do nothing for me.
Amen.
But God did.
Amen.
You remember when Jesus came in the house, and I mean, we got this right, and this sister, they broke the alabaster box, and she began to wipe his feet with her hair, and somebody said, you know, we could have sold that. Jesus, no doubt in his mind, she's showing me how much she loves him.
Yeah.
See, with God, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Maybe God didn't save you from a whole lot. Maybe, well, sin is sin, folks. You remember this. But maybe, you feel like, you see, you were down in the gutter. Let me tell you something. Sin can stop you from going to heaven.
Amen.
No, you know what it is? I'm glad God saved my soul. Praise God. And I mean to live for it.
Amen.
Wherever I go.
Amen.
And that's the kind of mind we all going to have, to be consistent.
Amen.
Thank God for the truth. Let the truth.
Little David, 1 Samuel, David was a little fella there, 1 Samuel 17 chapter, verse
17 verse. Someone can help us begin reading for us, please.
In Jesse 7 that David is son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. Is that what you
mean? Yes, read on.
And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge.
Yes.
Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle.
You know one thing about David. David was a young man that followed good instructions.
Yeah.
He was a young man right through here where he followed good instructions. Not in trouble later, but he followed good instructions right through here. And his dad had told him what to do, and he was headed out to do it. Read on.
For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army.
Yes.
And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as they talked with them, behold, there came up of the champions of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them.
I see this particular giant just like we look at a sickness or a disease that we feel that God can't heal, or we feel, well, it's a little shaky here. Here, right through here, when Goliath, this abnormal fella, comes up, you don't grow him like that every day. He comes up and stands out on the thing there and waves his hand and, hey, send me somebody over here to fight me. One of you fellas come on over and I'll fight you and the winner take all. And you just, and we'll just, we'll submit to you all if you win and you submit to us as we win. It's frightened the king. Didn't know it?
Yeah.
Now, what causes fear is when we get a little shaky is because maybe something is just not right. Maybe something, maybe I'm not living where I ought to be living, so I get a little afraid when, you know, I have to tackle this particular thing. Read on.
And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him and the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of Israel?
You know David wasn't afraid, was he?
No.
You know why? By him being down there with the keeping of the sheep, meditating in the night, no doubt praying, looking up in the, at the moon and the stars, and just communing with God. Don't you know when you commune with God, you're more bold of then than you ever before?
Yeah.
You go into a fast for 2 or 3 days and you come out of it. You've got more strength than you had the day before the day you went into it. Maybe it's some situation that you couldn't deal with. Maybe it was some situation you didn't know how to handle. And you went before God in fasting and prayer. And the Lord began to bless you and strengthen you and give you some understanding how to deal with it. When you came out of it all fast, you was more stronger than.
Yeah.
You were more confident in your soul. Yes, Lord. But before then, you were shaking. You was nervous about it. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Kind of like Elijah did one time. And I haven't seen quite figured that thing out yet. Elijah called on God, and God answered Elijah. And not only did he answer him, he sent power. And just burned up the sacrifice and one thing and another. And a little bit after that, who that was? Yeah. Say she's going to kill all the prophets.
he started running, got scared, and left, and got over there and told the Lord that he's going to kill all the prophets. I'm ready. Kill everybody with me. Would have killed me if I'd stayed there, Lord. And just like folks, God will do some great things for us, and as soon as something else pop up, we get scared again. We get scared again, and we about ready to run. And the Lord said, hold on, hold on. Just keep in mind, I'm going to put a challenge to you tonight. And may God bless you, young and old. And I realize you've been in touch with God, no doubt there. But I'm going to say, from this day forward, let's write down every blessing, everything, every prayer that God answers. Write it down. Just write it down.
Amen.
And then when trouble comes, go back and read it.
Amen.
Go back and read on October so-and-so, God did this. Praise God. And on October that God did, praise the Lord. And here it is, November. Well, bless God. God got some blessings for you in November too.
Yeah.
I challenge you. Many times we soon to forget. And then we become afraid. I remember Sister Hargrave told Brother Hargrave one time he had been preaching, and I appreciate a good solid sister standing behind her. And he said something sound like it didn't sound right to her. She said, "Don't be a crawfish, brother. You know what a crawfish is. Scoot backwards." She said, "Don't be a crawfish." And I, boy, he looked at me and said, "I hear you." We used to name Sister Hargrave, we still had the name for her. And I don't know if anybody ever called that but us. We called her Sister Straight. Sister Straight.
Oh.
Brother Hurst said, she said, "That's just straight there. Praise God. Keep us straight. Help us to stay right. Don't back down from the truth."
No.
to using all this get up, and you took it off. Well, what are you going to identify this fellow with? My little slave. And he stopped on the way and picked him up fine, smooth stuff. I like when the scripture says smooth stuff. Glory to God. And notice, folks, what I get out of the whole thing is, he didn't drag his feet going. The Bible said he hastened to it. Glory to God. He was on the way to him. He was running to meet him. When you and I live it right, we don't have to run from the devil.
Amen.
One sister, we were down there, baby, we didn't have an older sister to work with right at that time, so the pull came in later. But here we were, young folks had gotten saved, and some was already married, and having children. They didn't want to go to the doctor because during this time they just wanted to operate and do whatever they wanted to do to you. So what we did, and I looked at the sister one day, I said, well, I said, what do you want to do? She said, I want to trust the Lord. I said, praise God. There's a couple of cases here, but here's one I'm going to tell you right now. And so one sister said, well, I know how to count minutes. We are young. I mean, young fellows. Young sister. And so I said, all right. And I had to go out. I was working at that time, too. But I had everybody know where how you can reach me on the phone. And I had a phone right there when we were working. And you just call me when the minutes get close. And I think we was about 10 miles from the hospital. Somebody might say, well, brother, I wouldn't have did it that way. Well, let me tell you something. When we got saved, we didn't have a whole lot of knowledge how to do things. But I'm going to tell you something. We did have one thing in our minds and hearts, that we were going to trust God. And nobody was going to take that away from us. Amen. So bless the Lord. They begin to count the minutes, and I told them, I said, now, when the minutes get around 7 minutes apart, let's start out to the hospital. Praise God. Well, the minutes get counting, and 7 minutes, get there, and they called me. I said, all right, start out. I'll meet you at the hospital. And the Lord blessed, seemed like all of our births, except one, came at night. See? And I didn't know why, but then I found out later. Where we would park until the minutes got to 2 minutes was in a no parking zone, and the policeman was off duty that night. Glory to God. You see, if it had been a daytime, they would have had to run us off from where we were. But the Lord let it happen at night. So here, we would go around there to the no parking zone, and we'll wait there, and then we'll count the minutes, and sister said five, all right, keep counting, we prayed, and now she said, well, it's about three, and we're going to wait two, and pretty soon, at 2 minutes, and we spun right around the corner into the emergency room, and here comes the folks running, and everybody got to hurry up and get up there now, and by the time the doctors got out there and start talking a whole lot of smartness, and who can go to jail, and who can do this, the baby was born. Glory to God. I tell you, folks, this thing is real. Maybe we didn't have the knowledge about everything, but we know one thing. We were going to trust God. Well, next sister, somehow or another, she got a little afraid, and she went down to the hospital that day. Thought she was about ready. He was on the job site. But what they did, they had her, she signed the paper, which she was so kind of out of it, she didn't know what she was signing. And when we come in to visit her, her husband and myself, and the doctor said, well, she signed the papers for us to operate on her. And she said, no, I didn't. She said, doctor said, yes, you did. Right here. She said, but doctor, I didn't know what I do not want an operation. So the doctor got stirred up. So the husband right there, he said, well, what are you going to do, sir? He said, I'm with my wife. He said, who are you? I said, I'm a Christian. Glory to God. Everybody's in trouble now, see? From the preacher on up to the husband and the wife. So now, and he got stirred up, and he told us why you didn't have the baby in the cab. And so Sister Sandra and I appreciate her. Sister Sandra said, well, see, sir, we just need you to deliver it. That's all. We don't want you to do anything else. We don't want to use up your medicine. We don't want to tie up a lot of folks. We just want you to do it. Did you do that, baby, for us? Boy, that kind of stirred up sugar. And he went on upstairs. Bless God. He went on upstairs to the big man. So the big man told him, he said, if they want to trust God, give them a place in the back and let them trust God. Brother, listen, that blessed my soul. Well, the orderly comes down. He said, here, you got to put on this. I had on a hat, a coat, ain't no for shoes, and I was walking through that like I was a doctor that day. Glory to God. We trusted the Lord, and the baby's heart stopped beating right in the pain of that. And I'll tell you, they put me and one of the brothers out, and Sister Sanders and her husband stayed in, and they put us out, and we was out praying. By that time, just before her baby came, another baby was born. And they tried to rush it and do something to it. The baby died. They come back, drop them dead. Old devil said, that was y'all baby. And I asked the lady, I said, the Jasmine baby, has it been born yet? She looked at me and said, I said, well, she must not be born yet, so let's pray. Glory to God. Here come the doctors. We're going to get a court order, and we're going to do this. I said, all right. You go to jail. I said, yeah. Don't you know you can spend a long time in jail for this? You won't change your mind? You are stubborn. That's what you are. Oh, she talked about it. You did it, and I thank you. While she out talking about me, that baby's heart is not beating, and that baby probably has already died, and you all out here, and I'll tell you, Sister Sanders found a way to get us a little word to have a special prayer. As soon as that prayer was over, that baby's heart started beating. A few minutes later, here comes the baby. The sisters, but I want to say this, her fever was so high, and when prayer was over, it just like somebody just. We remembered what God had been doing for us, and we began to call on the Master. Lord, we need you now. You know what that doctor had to do? That doctor come back out there and she said, Mr. Kimball, I'm sorry. I said, oh. You know, I don't try to make it hard for me. I said, oh.
Thank the Lord.
David said, I remember the bear. Yeah. I remember the lion. When these things arise, many times we don't see the Lord heal as fast as we think He ought to heal, and then we begin to get on the discouraged end and say, well, what we ought to do before tackling any problem, we need to first seek the Lord and be sure I'm up to date.
Yes.
Be sure I'm up to date. Now, if I'm up to date in my experience with God, I've been praying and keeping up with God and doing whatever the Lord tells me to do. Now, the next thing to do, my brother and I, that we don't have nothing between us. We don't need nothing between us. We don't want a court, because when we look to the Lord, we want to know that everything is all right. The next thing I suggested we could do is come and deal with the patient. If they're able to talk to us, now, sister, brother, how is it with you and the Lord? Is everything all right? We're going to pray here now, and we want a clear channel. We don't want nothing in the way. So here we didn't look to the Lord about us, and we dealt with each other, and everything seemed to be in order there. Now, let's see your credentials. When all is well, then we can talk to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk to the Father.
Amen.
And say, Lord, with confidence is right. We say, Lord, your children is in trouble. And Lord, we need you to work. But it's going to take consistent work. It's going to take on every one of our hearts consistent work.
Yes, amen.
We'll never be able to make heaven living living up and down. Knowing I need help in my spiritual walk with God, yet I feel like I can make it with this. You know, Sister Laverne said something one time and Steve with my mind. And the question that he asked, I asked him many times. When did the Lord come down and bless you? I mean, come down and just hug you. You can't remember it. The Lord just hugged you and looked like, ooh, Lord. And it looked like if he'd have hugged you real close, you couldn't have took it. Could you feel the bubbling over? You know, you remember something about that. The Lord was here today. David said, this fellow here is going to be just as one of that lion in that
bear.
He ran to him. And with the first rock, with the first sling, he sank the rock in his forehead. Back went the lion, and he had promised him that he was going to cut his head off. He looked around and didn't have nothing. He went and took his own sword.
That's right.
That's what we need to do with a lot of things that we permit to come into our lives and cause us to be distracted from God. We need to cut it off. Completely
yes,
off. Let the whole thing go. Cut it off. He separated Goliath's head from his body, and that was the end of that way. Seemed like the children of Israel got courage. But you know, all before that, his brethren told him, said, now we know why you come down here. That's just Lord help us, his brethren. And David said, isn't it not a cause?
No.
Isn't it not a cause for me to be here? Look at this fellow out here hollering and y'all running. Isn't it not a cause? And you ask me, telling you know why I came. But David didn't come here. He didn't even know Goliath was there. God did. May God help us. I'm thinking tonight of consistent living. Now, here's a thought point. Food for thought, see? Do you remember when you was first saved? Think about it. You was happy. You was bubbling over. You told the president you were saved. You the one to pray for him right there. That's just how much bold you get. Do you still have it? Are you still happy? You remember the visitation of God, how you visit? You still have that? Or have I been missing something? You know, I just... It's like a man when he's hungry, don't know he's hungry, but something that just ain't happening. I don't know what I want. You know, you want to eat something, but you know what it is. You don't know what you want, but you want something. Do you have that same desire you had then? Do you have it now? Has it increased? Or am I just going along? See, we'll never have the power to live consistent for God just going along.
That's so.
See? Sometimes we can get our eyes on men, and you and I can say, well, I'm saved because of Brother so-and-so. But let me tell you something. Get your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
Because Brother so-and-so can fall, and guess what? You will fall with him. I have a desire in my soul to make heaven by the grace of God.
Amen.
Get your eyes on Jesus. If you hear tonight and you've heard the call of the Lord, maybe you've been up and down. Maybe you have not been living consistently over the years, and you need some help doing it. It is best to get it done now. Get everything clear. You know, I believe when the Lord opened the door and show us something, we need to deal with it right then. A lot of times folks want to get home and deal with it. They want to say, well, I'll take care of it, preacher, and it never gets done. But you and I have to rebuke the devil even when the word is preached. To shake it loose, I need help. I just have not been operating right. I have not had the faith and knowledge that I need. I don't have the strength, seem like, that I need from God. I don't feel the blessing in my soul that I once felt. Now, that's why God wants to bless you. God wants to give it to you.
Amen.
And you know, we'll sit right here, and we'll say, well, preacher, I'm all right. I want every one of us tonight. Every one of us tonight. To earnestly check what you have on you.
Amen.
See if you picked up something along the way that's causing you some problems. An old bad attitude stick out at times. You know that? A lot of things can be mentioned here that can cause you and I to fall. May God help us. As we sing a song, we're going to ask you to stand. And we're going to give you an opportunity. Well, I'm all right, preacher. That's fine. Do you need anything? Do we need anything? Think about it. I got enough patience. My attitude's in the right place. I'm on fire for God. Think about it. The songwriter says there's a spirit glowing in your heart. The Lord wants to bless us. Consider the word of God tonight. If you're here tonight and you have a shortcut, get some help. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.